listening to Reaching Forth Radio, a weekly broadcast produced to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm Dan Brenneman, along with Dan Klaus, and it's our hope that today's show will encourage you as a Christian teen or young adult to walk with God. It's our desire to put something edifying in your routine as you go wherever it is you go and do whatever it is you do. And wherever you listen to Reaching Forth Radio, we hope it's a help and a blessing, a challenge, and just something maybe just to alleviate the stress of the day. You know, whatever it is you're facing. I mean, it could be something that just, you know, you heard some bad news or disappointing news, or, you know, you just get off your schedule. Sometimes that just happens. You just, things aren't going as you planned, and you're just 15 minutes behind, and it turns into 20, 30, and you think, well, you know, let me just pause and turn on Dan and Dan and Reaching Forth Radio. As Dan's about to choke on his coffee. Yeah. As I say
I'm sure that's what people are saying.
That's what they're thinking.
Let's just pause and turn on Dan and Dan.
I'm having a bad day, and I am 30 minutes late for everything. Let me just be 30 minutes later, an hour late,
yeah,
because I listen to Reaching Forth Radio. Yeah.
And you'll be late, but you'll be encouraged.
That's right. You'll feel better about it.
Yeah.
So
I think my mom's the only one that says that, but, you know.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe there's someone else out there.
I'm sure there's other people like your mom out there. Even though your mom, I'm sure, is in your eyes and your dad's eyes and your whole family's eyes, she's one of a kind. You know, we're all somehow carbon copies of one another in one way, one corner of the earth or another, I'm sure. We probably
corner
have
of the earth, you know, that just made me think of Kenny.
Yeah.
We have not heard from Kenny yet.
Oh, I heard that the China's economy, the value of their dollar or whatever it is they call it. It's not a dollar. It's not a yen. It's
yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll have to Google that. Whatever it is, it devalued.
Hmm.
And
so maybe he's stuck there with no money.
Hopefully.
But all he does is listen to Dan and Dan.
Maybe he went over there, didn't spend any of his you know, spending money, and he gets his money back and changed into American, and it's like a lot less than what he came there with.
He's probably, like you were saying at the beginning, he's probably sitting on the Great Wall of China right now, discouraged, listening to Reaching Forth
Radio.
He
said he was going to listen.
Encouraged. Yeah.
He said he's going to listen to us on the Great Wall of China, didn't he?
I know that. So we have to check in with him when he gets back and see if he actually followed through with that.
All right. So
sorry, I kind of went off on a rabbit trail there.
Kenny, if you're listening right now and you happen to be in China right now, and if you happen to be on the Great Wall of China right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to
908-291-8336, right there.
Yeah, call us and let us know. And then, after you call us, maybe you can do this while you're on the call, leave the tourist group that you're with right now, go on the edge of the wall, and don't jump, but just say something crazy like, I'm the king of the world or something, I don't know, just something random. And just let us know what it was.
Let us know how it goes.
Hey, speaking of random, we do have a new segment that we're going to introduce to you guys here on the Reaching Forth Radio. It's called a Reaching Forth Radio Random News. Mm. And we have some headlines here for you this week. But before I get into that, I wanted to just to say what we're talking about on our show. What are we talking about, Dan? We're talking about our question going to be later, our later segment this episode will be, how involved should a Christian be in politics?
Oh, you went there.
Well,
we may go there. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. We haven't done anything yet.
It's from some anonymous person.
Right. That's where we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
And Dan, you'll have the challenge for us later on. But right now.
But before we get to the random news, because we are waiting in eager anticipation to hear how your 5K went. How did it go?
Okay. Here it is. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
I got there, and there was a lot of people there. When I get into a crowd, and I feel like I don't have an exit, I get a little anxious. And I was trying to step away from the crowd. But we got there to the start line, and I was ready to go. And my wife, Hannah, is there with me, and there was a couple of other ladies from our church that were with us. And I was ready to go. I was ready to run. I was ready to win this race.
I'm going to stop you there for a second.
Okay.
So you ran with a bunch of ladies. I was going to say, that's brilliant, because then you're like, well, I'll slow down just to stay with you ladies. I'll take a good pace for you.
The thing is, here's what happened. I was ready to take off, win the race, and I was running in the fast lane, and my wife says, slow down
and stay beside me. So I didn't realize this wasn't exactly a race. It was more of a date. But I did discover
which
this.
Is better than a race.
Any day.
Any day of the week.
But what was interesting, though, is we both of us, my wife and I, tried to at least stay at a fast pace.
Yeah.
See, the people that were walking, and really about 80% of the people walked, they were on the right-hand side and the runners on the left-hand side, just like when you're driving on the road. Okay, and so we were in the middle, sort of. And as my wife began to jog, I found out that my walking pace was as fast as her jog. That's from my years of doing the walkathon.
Yeah.
You remember from last week. So my power walk is the equivalent of running. So therefore, by power walking the 5K, I did run the 5K. Same pace, same speed. So somebody with smaller legs than me would have had a lot of effort, but I would have done the 5K in the same amount of speed with less effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm just trying to figure out how that all works out.
Just because I'm so tall. That's what it is.
So technically, a tall person walking is not actually walking. He's always running.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. We'll give that to you.
There.
Yeah, we'll give it to you. Yeah.
There you go. That's how it went, and it was
and what place did you come in?
About 500th, I think. I don't know. They
out of?
There was actually probably was about 1,000 people there.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
But that included kids and strollers and things. Yeah. You know, those didn't count.
Mm.
So it was just it was a fun thing though. It was a lot of hype, you know. But it was fun. It was my first 5K. You know, if there is a second one, I don't know.
You're doing better than me because I have yet to do a 5K.
I think I did 5K before I got to the 5K.
Yeah.
Before that, I went to the Brooklyn Chess Festival and played in the open tournament there, and I got third place. I got a third place trophy.
Congratulations!
So I had a full day Saturday. There you go.
Yeah. So chess it is 5K. So much.
Well, I sweat more during the chess tournament than I did the 5K because it was during the day. I was in a hot sun, sunburnt and everything.
Yeah, he does look rather red. You can't see now, but once we get these in studio cameras working, you'll be able to see the red glow.
The 5K was very nice. It was very nice and cool. It was at night. It was nice. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, that kind of leads into the... Sorry,
it does. We do have a headline here. Our Reaching Forth Radio Random News. Our first headline is this. Cape Cod race lets runners compete virtually on a treadmill. That's interesting. I would have loved that kind of race. Let me explain what this is. This means that, say you wanted to run in a race, and this race was being held in Cape Cod. There were about 100 runners that were part of the race that didn't run in the race with the runners. They ran on a treadmill, and on the treadmill was a screen, a monitor, that let them see the race that they were running in Cape Cod. I don't know where they were actually were. I think they were in Connecticut or Vermont. I don't know. But they ran on a treadmill. Can you imagine the person running actually in Cape Cod, and as he crosses the finish line and breaks the ribbon, he finds out that 10 people on treadmills beat him already. He came in 11th place. That just doesn't seem fair to me.
Did they have, was it a separate competition, or was it just, it was all one competition?
As I understood the article, they were all part of the same race. I don't think the elements there in the treadmill in the gym would have been the same. I mean, stepping on the pebble, that would have, hurt your foot and you still endured to run the race. Or the wind resistance.
Well, maybe they had a fan in front of them blowing on them.
Well,
but even still, it wouldn't run.
Yeah, it would have been
Or maybe if it started to rain, then they had someone there with a bucket. Just splash them. I want that job. I want to be the bucket guy the gym.
The treadmill effects virtual.
The nature effects for the race in the treadmill. I thought that would be a great job.
Earthquake.
Yeah. All right. That's a good. That's a pretty random news.
All right.
How about this other one here? I like this one. I like this one because I just went on a hike. This ties right in with something I did this week. Yesterday, actually, from recording this, we went on a hike in New Jersey, and pulling into the hiking grounds where we're going to hike, had a big sign: "Bear in the area. Use caution out on the trails."
Wait, the sign was updating that there was a bear in
there.
There
was
area?
A bear in that park. Yeah, I did not do what this person did in Alaska. According to this news source, there's a man in Alaska who is dressed up in a bear costume and is harassing Mother Bear and the cubs in Anchorage, Alaska.
That is not a good idea.
That's just a death wish. Kenny, if you're listening there in China, do not do that. I'm sure they have bears in China. Who would do that? Yeah, that's true. Pandas, I think, give you a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
Maybe. But a grizzly bear, because I'm guessing that's a grizzly bear because that's in Alaska. That's where grizzly bears are.
What if I dressed up as a koala?
I mean, that's...
That would be different.
Yeah.
But no, a grizzly bear...
Who does that?
You're supposed to play dead.
Yeah.
Not...
That does bring another thing. On our hike, we were talking then, you know, what are we supposed to do when we see this bear? We're talking about playing dead.
Oh, so they let you in the park even though there's a bear.
Yeah, they said use caution on the trails. There's a bear. So we kept our eyes out. But there's also a bunch of vultures circling around overhead.
Ooh.
We're like, we got to keep this straight. So if they're circling above us, don't play dead. But if the bear comes, play dead. Because, I mean, if you get those confused, you know, you could be...
dress up as a vulture.
Yeah. You could be in trouble. But just for the record, to all of our listeners out there, do not dress up in a bear costume. Do not go out into the woods. Do not harass other bears in the woods. Now, doing this to the hikers, that would have been kind of fun.
Well...
dressing up as a bear and, like, go harass
depends
hikers.
On what part of the country.
Yeah.
If
you go somewhere where no one's allowed to be armed, maybe then.
There you go. That's what you have to keep in mind.
Yeah.
All right, next headline. Three men arrested in New York City sewer searching for valuables. Now, these weren't three guys that lost something in the sewer, like their car keys, and were looking for them. No, they were just randomly searching for anybody's valuables that would have ended up in the New York City sewer.
Yeah.
Now,
Dan isn't telling you is that this was actually us.
No. Well, there's three. Who was the third guy?
Yeah, well, Dustin.
So, Dan, you actually thought this was a good idea, didn't you?
I said, it's random news, and I guess I could see them being arrested, but hey, I mean, that's a pretty smart idea. I am sure that people are dropping valuable stuff down the street.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you think of all the millions
of
people.
Kids and, millions of people.
Yeah.
If you can put up with searching through that, I think you deserve it. You deserve the valuables. It was actually Dan and I and Dustin, and we left Dustin down there. That's why he hasn't been on the show for a while. So,
well, you know. I guess it could be the new gold rush or maybe the gold flush.
Yes. I like it. You know, they had the gold rush, like vacation Bible school themes. And
yeah,
everything.
We've done that.
You could do the golden flush vacation Bible school theme.
No kids would show up. They'd all go home smelling.
Here in New York, we could get away with that. That'd be great. That'd be great. That's a good idea. Oh, man. A couple other things here. I'm going to jump to this last one here. This is a good one because that's a good one for us to discuss. And being from West Virginia, I'd like to get your input on this.
Okay.
There's a man, I'm not sure where he's at, who has dressed up like a goat and is going out and living with a goat to study goat life.
It wasn't he just lived with another goat. He was like a whole herd of goats.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was like, yeah.
Living with goats.
Yeah. So, yeah, did he eat the grass, maybe? What it was, he had these prosthetic things that he was able to climb the mountains with and be on his hands and knees comfortably.
Now, that's kind of cool, but...
And I don't know if he had a helmet on. I'm not sure if he had a...
Had horns on it.
Yeah, had horns on there. Ooh. And maybe got into some headbutts with the other goats.
Yeah. You know, that would explain it. Maybe that's what he did the first day, and then, like, he just messed him up.
You asked for my opinion about being from West Virginia. Yeah, my wife, so she grew up, really her high school years, on a farm. And it was her 16th birthday, her birthday present... No, it wasn't a new car. It was a goat, a pet goat.
Yes.
And they actually accumulated a few goats there. I think the goat's name was it Frosty or Oreo? Something like that. Anyway, I'll go out and play with the goat. It was fun. You put your hand on its forehead, and it's kind of fun. He's like pushing you, and it's like an uncoordinated dog.
Okay.
That's what it's like. But anyway, but to live with the goats...
Mm.
I don't know that they ever brought the goats inside to domesticate them. Yeah, her parents and herself. They didn't really domesticate the goats, but it was, I think that it would be okay to live with goats from a distance. That is, on a farm, in caged, you know.
Yeah, I would live with the goats as far as camping out on a mountain. And like there's a goat herd there, and
that's
you're like
one way to put it.
Camping there with next to them,
never not sort of really camping as referred to as Well, just going out there to live with the goats.
I'm gonna go live with the goats.
Live among the goat folk.
Sometimes here in a city, that sounds appealing, though. I will say. That reminds me of another news story that I saw this week where, this is kind of crazy. I forget where this one was. I don't have it in front of me. But it was a couple that went into a restaurant and they brought a big snake with them. I think it was a python. Wow. And it was freaking all the customers out. So they went and asked the guy. They're like, you have to, you know, you can't be in here with this snake. And the guy's like, no, this is my therapy animal that I have to have. You know, like a lot of people have seeing eye dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, if I don't have this, I get depressed. And so they said it was kind of crazy. The people in the restaurant, then they're like, I don't know what I should do. Because like they're like, I don't think I can kick
what
them
about
out.
Their therapy,
that's it.
You know?
I was going to say, I mean, I would have just left. I don't know if I could sit there next to that, and especially if it like crawls down on the floor.
Well, if I could be somewhere where I could see it from a distance and monitor, you know, where it's at. But as soon as it goes out of sight,
well,
I'm out of
sight. Yeah, what happens when you're sitting there, like you're halfway through your food and you look over and it's like gone and they're like looking around the restaurant.
Yeah.
They found out later to finish that story that actually only dogs are considered those kind of helping therapy pets.
I agree with that. Dogs,
and so technically, they could have had him leave.
But. Yeah.
So look for that in a restaurant near you. Big old python next to you.
Yeah, on a leash.
With a goat. Why not? And a grizzly bear. Get it all together.
I hope you've enjoyed our random news segment there. And we'll do that again sometime. We'll have some other segments here in the future. But we have to get on with the most important part of our show. Time for our question and answer segment. And today's question could be just a little touchy, just naming the question. And we'll remind you that you can call or text in your questions or comments or answers or second opinions to us at 908-291-8336. That's 908-291-TEAM. Or you can email us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com.
Unless you disagree with us and just don't let us know.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, you can let us know. We just
let us know either way.
To you. I don't know. Okay,
we'll pray for you.
The question is, it can be, it depends on how we handle this. We have to be careful, Dan.
Yeah.
How involved should a Christian be in politics? Can we use the word Christian and politics in the same sentence? And I just added that second question there. But really, how involved should a Christian be in politics? And so, Dan, I'm going to hand the can of worms over to you to let you open them. So go ahead.
Well, you know what, Dan, and Dan and I, you know, obviously we're talking before the show about this question, and there's maybe a lot of different opinions on this, a lot of different thoughts, and we're not going to get too much off on a rabbit trail, but we want to share just with you a couple Bible verses, passages from the Word of God that would be good, a good foundational place to start, if we could put it that way, as dealing with politics in our government. And this is, if you're listening in the United States, maybe, well, this applies to anywhere you live, really, because it's from the Bible. And the first passage that, you know, we'd think of, or I thought of, was Romans chapter 13. It says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." And he kind of goes down through here and talks about some different things. But thinking about that first verse there, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are be ordained of God." We need to have a sense of submitting to those in authority and God, and realizing that God is in control. Ultimately, He is in control, and we need to submit to our authorities. That being said, especially here in the United States where we are, we have the right to vote. In fact, I would say beyond a right, we really have the responsibility to vote. We have the responsibility to care about our government and to, I would say, be careful not to get over-involved, because politics is not the answer. You know, sometimes people think that, and I've talked to some people that feel that way, that politics is the answer to our nation going back to God. No, it's not the answer. Now, we would like to see politicians that fear God, that love God, but politics is not the answer. But I'd say, hey, first of all, to do our part in voting, especially in our part here, maybe talking to those in authority, but then also understanding that it's our job to submit to that authority. And I would say with this too, Dan, something that sometimes we are guilty of is not showing respect to those that are in authority when we disagree with them. And that can be a touchy and a hard thing, but the fact is that even if we disagree with our political leaders, we should show respect to them. And I think you have a verse there that would kind of even tie in with that. We should more than show respect, we should pray for them, right?
Exactly. And I'll put it this way, you know, we sometimes disagree with the person, and you know, things can be said about the person, but as I was always taught, you know, we need to respect the office.
Yeah.
And hold the integrity of that. And we, again, we're not going to name endorse politicians or anything like that. That's not what we're trying to do. We do want to encourage. I know some of you teenagers out there aren't old enough to vote yet, but some of you older ones that are 18 and up are. And we do encourage you to be involved in the process, because it is a privilege to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You think about the governments in the past and governments that occupied Israel, and when like in the book of Daniel, when they were. Taken from Jerusalem and so forth, and you know, they were asked to do things that were against, contrary to God's law, like bowing down to that image, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. There was a time to stand and say, you know, authority is given by God, but when that authority contradicts God, then I have to take my stand with God. But the privilege of voting is such a wonderful privilege, because we can be involved in that. And I tell people this, if I vote, that gives me the right to complain about it. If the person I voted for didn't get elected, I can complain about it, right? But
in balance, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure. But if I didn't vote, then I have no right to complain, can I? Because I didn't exercise my right to vote. But it is our voice. It's our privilege to be able to do that. And I encourage you to be involved in that, and be knowledgeable about the candidates, and vote prayerfully. And speaking of prayerfully, once they are elected, this is how we should pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And this includes, verse 2, "for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We can pray for those that have the rule over us, that have the authority over us. And the motivation in that those verses is so that we can live a life in all godliness and in honesty. And so, because you think about the past governments that the people that are in Timothy's time and Paul's time have experienced, the Roman government and so forth, that they it's been oppressive. And to think, what if they had the privilege of voting? Do you not think that they would vote?
And even, I would say, even today, there's so many governments. We should be really grateful here in the United States.
Yeah.
There's so many governments around the world that the people have no voice.
Yeah,
you know, it's very oppressive.
So we do encourage you to be involved in at least that part of the political process. Make your voice known by voting. You say, well, my vote doesn't really matter. It gets canceled out. Well, think about how many other people have said that. Mm-hmm. And if all of you would have voted, then it would have made a difference.
And even if you're not old enough to vote, you're old enough to pray.
That's exactly right.
And so
right.
You should be praying for them. And I would even say, hey, maybe go even a step beyond that. Pray for your politicians and do this. Send them a letter saying you're praying for them. What are some things that, you know, you could pray specifically for them about? And I would encourage you, hey, maybe someone out there could do that with their politicians. And I think that might be a good way of getting to meet some of these people that are in authority. Sometimes we feel a little intimidated by that, but the fact is they're just people like we are.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they have a certain office, like you're saying, Dan, you know, they're holding an office, but they're people just like you and I. And so pray for them, and you know, if you can talk to them, talk to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, pray for our leaders. We can definitely be involved with politics in that way, and praying for them, being knowledgeable about what they're facing and some of the issues. I think it's good for Christians to be informed and to not be ignorant and just say, well, I'm going to vote this way because, you know, somebody else is voting this way. Did you ever participate in student body elections or anything like that in school?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I remember in high school we had those elections, and it was more of a popularity contest. And I know student body is really subjective, but you know, it you can't just vote just because somebody else is voting in some way. You need to be informed and make an informed decision about these things, and not just vote because somebody else is voting that way and make it a popularity contest. So,
well, in a high school, that's one thing, I guess. But yeah, when it gets to the actual running of our country,
right?
Some big decisions.
Yeah,
that's good. And I would say too, you know, there's so much more that could be said about this question.
Sure.
And there's so many different views, opinions. But let's put it this way: how to answer maybe this question? How involved should a Christian be involved in politics? That's really between you and God, how involved you should be. But should you be involved in a certain sense? Yes, at least in prayer and voting and doing these other things that we can at least do in following God.
Well, you know what? We want Christian politicians, do we not, if that's possible? So, hey, you that are young people, you know, if you're looking at that sort of career opportunity in the future, that would be a wonderful thing to be an example, to be a leader, and to have a twofold accountability, not only to your government, but to your God, and make a stand that way.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes as Christians, we're great at complaining about our political leaders and stuff, but then when maybe there's young people that want to go into that, we kind of downplay it. And you know, don't feel that way. Hey, if God is leading you that way, that is awesome. We, like Dan said, we could use some political leaders that love God and are followers of Jesus Christ. And so if you feel maybe God's pricking your heart about going that way with your life, or that's what God has, like we talked last week about, God has created you for that purpose. Hey, follow it wholeheartedly, but you know, make sure you're following the Lord's leading in that. But hey, we'd love to, it would be awesome to see you as a political leader that loves Jesus Christ.
All right. All right, down to our weekly challenge time for this week. And Dan, you have it, so let us have it.
All right. I'll just quickly share a couple thoughts with you guys. On the idea of fear, that's not a word we necessarily like to throw around a whole lot, right? Because it's kind of, there's maybe some shame in that word. There shouldn't be necessarily. I mean, fear is something that all of us face to some degree or another. We all fear certain things. Maybe some people out there have a great fear of heights. You know, they hate heights, but then they could go into a cave or a tight space and it doesn't bother them at all. And then there's some people that, you know, would hate, they'd be claustrophobic, right, we say, but, you know, heights doesn't bother them at all. But some people are deathly afraid of speaking in public, while others, it doesn't bother them that much. You know, so we all have different areas and different things in our life that maybe we fear a little bit. But I want to talk today about not necessarily those little fears and different things that we have, but a fear that we may have in our life that would cripple us from doing things for God. Now think about a couple causes for fear. What are some causes of fear? I'm talking big, and not just simply I'm scared of a spider, or I'm scared of this or that, but some big things that people fear. I think probably the biggest one, right, would be death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, death. We fear death. And the fact is that as Christians, we say, oh, we shouldn't fear death. Well, I understand what we say by that. We shouldn't fear death. I mean, we shouldn't fear what comes after death. But, you know, to be honest, Dan, that part of going through death may hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little unknown there. We're not sure exactly how it's going to go about. And that's fine having a little a fear in there, per se, of that death. You know, we don't have to fear as those that aren't believers fear. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 that the fear of man brings a snare, all right? So we can have a fear of men. We can fear what other men can do to us. We can fear what other men think about us. And that brings a snare that entraps us and kind of leaves us powerless if we allow that to dominate our life. The Bible talks about how we can have fear of trouble in Psalms. There's so many different verses dealing with fear of trouble. The fear of the unknown talks about that in several places. Fear of evil things. And these are all different things that we can fear. But as a whole, what would be one of the main causes of fear? And if I could put it this way, also how we can correct or deal with fear in our life. And I find this verse, Mark chapter 4, verse 40, a great passage that deals with this. And we'll start in verse 35 and read down through these couple of verses and think about this. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." That's Jesus talking to his disciples there in the boat. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them," this is what Jesus says to them, he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and saith one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" And I want us to think about this phrase that Jesus said. He says, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? How is it that you have no faith?" Really, when we allow fear to dominate our life, whether it's the fear of man that brings a snare, whether it's the fear of the unknown, I don't know what's going to come in my life, whether it's the fear of evil, and maybe we feel like this world is just so full of evil, I just don't know how it can go out and exist in this world anymore. Whenever we allow these things to dominate our life, even the fear of death, it really is a cause of lack of faith. It's really me saying, I don't know if I can really trust God. I don't know if I can really believe God. I don't know if I can really trust His will for my life, or trust His plan, or trust that He is on the throne. And so can I challenge you today, if maybe you're listening to this and you say, man, I am struggling with fear. Maybe you have never even voiced that to anybody. You've not talked to anyone about that, but just in your heart, you're afraid of the unknown. Maybe you're afraid of certain people and you're allowing that to dictate your life and to control your life and to snare your life. Can I just challenge you, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one that spoke the worlds into existence. He is the one that loves you and sent His Son to die for you. He loves you as His child, and He is taking care of you. And although sometimes we have some things that we don't know about, there are some fears that we have, maybe of the unknown, maybe of trouble, maybe from men, maybe from evil things going on around us. Trust God. Trust God. Live a life full of faith, knowing that God loves you, God is in control, and you don't have to live a life dominated by fear. The Bible talks about how God is a God that gives peace, right? It says that Christ that gives peace to us, and He wants our lives to be lives full of peace, not fear, not turmoil or a tumultuous life, but really a life just trusting God. Hey, these disciples here had Jesus Christ in the boat with them. They should not have been dominated by fear. They should have been dominated by faith, that God was with them and God had everything under control. And so can I challenge you today? God has everything under control. Live a life full of faith, not a life full of fear.
All right, that just about does it for this week's episode. This is episode number 6, if you're keeping track at home with your Reaching Forth radio count. And we'll just go over these our information for how you can reach us. Our number is, again, 908-291-TEEN or 908-291-8336. Always going to put those numbers in case you can't spell teen with numbers,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You can call or text that number. You can email us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. Remember that our shows are available on Tuesday if you're subscribing to iTunes or SoundCloud or looking for them on Facebook, looking for them to come out. Or you can go back to reachingforth.net and check out our website and listen to past episodes and get caught up on the inside jokes, whatever it is we're doing. And don't forget to like us on our Reaching Forth Rally and Radio page. And again, we're on the Christian Lighthouse Network, 6 o'clock on Saturdays. So I hope you enjoyed our show today. Hope you enjoyed the random news, the question and answer, the challenge that Dan gave us, and you know all the other little stuff.
Cheering Dan on for his 5K.
That's right.
Finish.
Hey, you know, let me just shout out and say thanks, you guys, for supporting me in this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it meant a lot. And I appreciate all the prayers and the ambulances standing by and all that went involved.
Dan
in me.
Did come walking in today with a cane.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, it just it takes its toll. There were potholes on the course, by the way. It was quite dangerous.
Yeah.
It was
it's New York. I don't doubt that.
But, you know, it was a nice area. Anyway, you know, so I really appreciate it. I hope I motivated you like I did Dan.
Yeah.
To get in shape and get fit.
Yeah.
Dan is already more in shape than I am anyway. But so I hope that maybe it motivates you to do a 5K, because if I could do it,
hey,
I know you could do it.
Yeah. That is motivation right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, all it took was just signing up.
I think
up.
We should get some T-shirts made up. Reaching Forth Radio on the back, on the front. If Dan can do it, so can I. And we'll have it upside down printed. So when you're discouraged, just look down and you can read your shirt.
That is genius. Oof. That is genius.
Someone trademarked that right there.
Right. I like that. It's upside down. You just look down and read. It's not for anybody else to see. It's for you to read.
It's for you.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, just remember that nothing is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep living for Him.